His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Mayor Corey Mason, is with us. Comes in every month. Thank you very much, Mayor, for coming in. You know what I forgot to give you this morning?
What's that?
Oh, the water. Thank you very much.
I just gave him a bottle of water. I see your arm is all better.
I'm on the mend. I'm not in the sling anymore, so it's good.
That was a shocker.
When you saw me last, it was shortly after I'd broken it. So I'm not quite 100% to be able to extend it, but this clear purse have been really helpful in getting me to, heal my wing here and... I can't lift heavy objects or anything just yet, but they did tell me at my age it takes a little bit longer to heal.
Don't you hate those words? Yes, at your age.
If you were 22, you might be
at your age,
it's gonna take a few more weeks.
So I guess you're not pitching for the Brewers in the World Series this year?
No.
Just checking. At your age. Okay, the mayor is here. We're talking about a whole bunch of different topics. Let's talk, let's start off with Clean Sweep 2.0.
Yeah, so we did a neighborhood cleanup sort of over at the 16th and Holmes area earlier in the year, and it was great. We had brought in a lot of city resources, so we brought in forestry equipment and DPW equipment and some dumpsters for people to get rid of bulky waste and some other things. We cleaned up the alleys, we filled potholes, we did a little, light construction on some of the houses. But it was just, it was a nice before and after. The neighbors really loved it, right? They were glad to see the city come out and replace sidewalk squares. And really, we're at a place where we had dozens of city staff and lots of city equipment out there all at once. Firefighters were out there knocking on doors and handing out smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors into people's homes. So it was a really great way to sort of bring all the city resources to just a few blocks for a couple of days. And it made a big difference. And so we'll be doing that again. And that's sort of the 14th and Howe, 14th and Center neighborhood coming up on the 16th and 17th, but it's a pilot project we've been trying this year, but the neighbors really seem to appreciate it, and you see a noticeable difference before and after when you do it, and it's a great way to get the community engaged with the city, and the city get to know their neighbors that we serve every day, so we're looking forward to that one.
Excellent. Smoke detectors, very important. Mm-hmm. We have a smoke detector. And when my wife is cooking in the kitchen, the smoke starts, a smoke detector. That thing is loud.
It is.
First of all, it comes up with a voice, fire, fire. And then it hits this alarm.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm sleeping through that thing.
Right.
So that's good. You want a loud one.
You do.
You want a couple of them in your house, just in your living room. But you need them all over the place.
And the carbon monoxide detector piece of it's important, too.
Yeah.
It's
built into it.
Yeah, but it's great, though. The firefighters knock on these doors, and they do a little education about it. And they're like, look, we're happy to hang it up for you. Tell us what you need. And they go from there. So I think we distributed more than 40 of them just in a couple of blocks last time. So fire department does a great job. And so, and they're happy to rush out if there's a fire to attend to. But... the fire that they want to extinguish is the one that never gets started.
Ooh.
So we're glad to do that.
Every time you see a house fire, you wonder, why didn't they have smoke detectors in there? They're so cheap. And not only save your life, your pet's life, it save your house, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, now we have the Great Lakes Climate Week. Now, this took you to New York City.
Yeah, so I'm part of an organization called the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, right? So all the cities around the Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence Basin are in this organization. And I'm also part of another group called Climate Mayors. But it's the first time I've ever attended it. But every year, the United Nations, when they meet the General Assembly, they have some discussion about how are we doing on climate change? Because as a planet, we're getting warmer. And so it's really meant to sort of do that work. And so in the context of doing that, what we're finding is the Great Lakes, in the midst of sort of the climate change that's coming, is kind of the place to be.
Talk about climate change for one thing, because people don't know. They say, does that mean the ice age is coming? What does it mean, climate change?
I mean, basically means that the average temperature of the planet will get up, another 1 to 4 degrees, depending upon what range you look at and what interventions we take, right? It also means that you get more intense and more frequent storms. So I don't know if you sort of thought about it feels like we get a 100-year storm every couple years now, right? I mean, the reason for that is climate change. It puts more moisture. But, these hurricane events that we have that become more frequent, the mayor of Phoenix was there. She said they had 70 days this summer over 110 degrees. Just a phenomenal impact of it. So that has real impact on people's lives. And interestingly, all the studies sort of say, when climate change happens and the world gets warmer and weather gets more volatile, the place you want to be is actually the Great Lakes region, that we are sort of the least volatile in terms of the climate change that they're predicting for a number of reasons. We're interior to the country. We've got a lot of access to fresh water, but, you know, we don't have as cold the winters, but we used to. So the climate change for us is seen as a real opportunity, which means they're already using this term called climate migration is what they're calling it, right? So I think for my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation, you saw a lot of people moving to the South because they wanted to be where it's warm. And I think you're seeing more and more people who are moving down there. It's like, wow, it's not just warm. It's hot. It's too hot. And so the expectation is that people are going to return to the Midwest. And when they do, we want to be ready for it. You know, the one thing about climate change that we've been working on is it does provide, our fresh water provides access to cheaper energy and better access to tourism and reinvestment. So we're excited about what that means. We had a big discussion about it. There were, you know, over 70 mayors from across the basin talking about the impacts of climate change, but then also getting the Great Lakes as a region ready for it. You know, the other thing, Don, it's just interesting about the Great Lakes, too. People don't, you know, they always think about, you've seen the pictures of the Great Lakes, right? That icon that sort of lays them all out. But people don't really think about the Great Lakes as an economic region. And I didn't realize this till I got more involved. It's the third largest economic region in the world, not just in the country. But if you include both sides of the borders, you know, the U.S. and Canada, it is one of the biggest economic areas in the world.
Shipping's got probably a lot to do with that.
Shipping's part of it, yeah. But a lot of industry, a lot of natural resources, a lot of energy production. I mean, it really is one of the more dynamic areas in the world. But there's, you know, 8 states and 2 provinces and 2 countries. So we don't always think of ourselves as an economic region. And it's really mayors across the region working together to say, hey, you know, if we're strategic about this, we can really benefit economically and help protect the planet while we do it.
How do you talk to people that say, oh, climate change, a bunch of liberal hooey?
Yeah.
How do you convince them that it's not a bunch of hooey? Because it isn't a bunch of hooey.
Yeah, I think that the hot, you know, is it hot, is it not hot? People are like, one hot day, what is it? But the thing that climate change does that affects people, I think, the most is, hey, do you remember there being this many heavy rainstorms this often? And the answer is you really don't. The other thing that I tell people is, look, climate change is expensive. I mean, we're going to spend a lot of money putting in bigger pipes for our wastewater system and other things just because these storms are so frequent and we're going to have to adjust to it. The exciting news about climate change, though, is all this work that's been done to really do renewable energy, whether it's geothermal or solar or what have you, that energy is now cheaper than traditional fossil fuel energy sources. So the reason, even if you completely think this whole climate change is a bunch of hooey, I don't believe any of it, a bunch of lefties made it up, the reality is renewable energy is now cheaper than traditional energy. So if you want to save some money, we should move to renewables.
You know, when I was on Alaska cruise, they bring the cruise ship into where the glaciers are, and they give they have a narrator.
Yeah.
They shut the engine of the cruise ship off, so it's really quiet. And he says, where this ship is now, it couldn't have been here 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because this is where the glacier was.
Yeah.
The glacier's melted, will never come back, and it's going deeper and deeper. We're bringing this cruise ship every year because the glaciers are disappearing.
Yeah, it's true.
They said on Mount Kilimanjaro, it used to be covered in snow year-round. Right. Now it's not.
Yeah, there used to be it's the Hemingway story, right? The snows of Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
There's no snows left on Kilimanjaro. I mean, it's, you know, to deny climate change, you really have to deny what you can see with your own eyes and hear. But again, for some people, it becomes an ideological thing. So your question's a really good one. Well, if people don't want to buy into that or they don't believe that's real, why should they care? Well, how about a cheaper electric bill? Would you like a cheaper electric bill?
Now they care.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a pragmatism to it that you got to get to as well. But for all of us, you know, if we feel a responsibility to our kids and our grandkids to an inherited world that they can live and thrive in and be stewards of themselves, we've got to be good stewards of the earth. We just have to.
There, I saw an IMAX film. It was called Hurricane on the Bayou. It's about the hurricane, but it's not just about the hurricane. There was a story involved with this young girl. And during the making of this documentary about her, that's when the hurricane hit. And they say, if we're not good stewards of this earth, this is going to happen. Cities like New Orleans are going to get destroyed more and more often. And I bought the DVD of the IMAX movie, Hurricane on the Bayou. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it makes a good point. You got to be good stewards of this earth. If you're not, You can't fix it once it's broken.
That's right. And what are we leaving to our kids and our grandkids and their kids? So, yeah, it's a responsibility that we all share.
We're talking to the mayor, His Honor, the mayor of Racine, Corey Mason. And you were talking about, you mentioned St. Lawrence Seaway before.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in the early 60s, my parents took us up to the St. Lawrence Seaway. I don't know why, but we went up there as part of the thing. And they have a power dam there, power locks. And what they do is it's a lock so the ships can get to a certain level and go down the seaway. We had, before cell phones, we had an 8mm camera. It took 3 minutes of film. That's all you were allowed. 3 minutes, and then you had to put a new roll of film in. My father took 3 rolls of it, so 9 minutes of the power lock, loading the water on one side to the other. And when vacation was over, we said, what did you take? 9 minutes of watching a boat slowly rise to the level of the St. Lawrence Seaway, and then the locks opened up. So that was my trip to the St. Lawrence Seaway. Let's talk about the budget. The budget is coming up when? It's underway now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, internally we're putting the final touches on it. I'm still, talking with the different departments and some of the alders about what goes in there. But, yeah, just for public information, the budget address will be on Monday, October 20th, where I will lay out what's in the budget. And then over the course of the next 3 weeks there, the council will meet several times to go through the budget. They'll get presentations from department heads. But the public's invited to go to City Hall and watch any and all of that. And there's points at which the public can offer testimony of what they like or what they don't like. So, we want to encourage the public to be a part of the process and watch that process. Of course, you can watch any of it, on YouTube if you can't actually get there, if you, want to watch while it's on or go back and say, I didn't get a chance to see the budget, so I want to go back and see, what the mayor said or I really care about, the Parks Department. I want to see the Parks Department presentation. There's the chance that you can do that. So if you can't come in person, you can always watch remotely. But, we like to hear what the public has to say about what we're working on. And, we get good survey data back and all those things. But it's also good for people to raise their voices and tell us what they like or they don't like about what our budget priorities are.
You got the elevator fixed, huh?
We do. The elevator is fixed. So, and again, thanks to the library who hosted us all summer while we were doing that. But yeah, we only have one elevator in City Hall, which meant our building was not ADA accessible for the summer. And so the good people of the library opened up the community room to us so that we could have committees and council meetings there. It worked out nicely. And, I think for some of the alders who maybe hadn't been in the library for a while, sort of like, this is a nice place. This is a really great resource.
I go there every week to take stuff out. Yeah.
Fantastic view. It's a gem.
They come in here every month. Yeah. Talk about the programs at the library.
Yeah, Nick and his team do a great job.
Right. We have Shay King who arranges all these guests for us. So that's really good. Let's talk about any cuts that we should be aware of. Anybody talking about slicing? Because I know the federal government right now, they're looking at a shutdown.
That is the wild card in all of this. Yeah. And not any huge cuts. It's the last year that we have federal funds from the Biden administration's American Rescue Plan Act that really helps buttress the budget. So this year it's going to be pretty steady. No big changes, no big contractions. Next year will be harder. But for this year, we've had years in the past where it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to ask every department to take a 5% haircut or what are we going to do? We're not in that situation. So that's good. I want to thank voters again for passing the referendum for the fire department. We had 9 positions that were funded by a federal grant. All these federal changes, that federal money is going away. We've got an increase in calls for service for people who need to get to the hospital with an ambulance. And so the good people of the city did pass that referendum so we could maintain those positions and maintain our services, most importantly. So
now in Washington, the big thing is they're shutting down if they can't arrange a meeting of the minds. How does that going to affect Racine?
So, yeah, a number of ways, right? I mean, the big wild card, people don't realize this, but, for the city of Racine, it's approximately 30% of our budget comes from federal funds in different ways. If you get on a bus, 80% of the funding of that is federally funded, right? So there's a lot of unknowns. I think it depends on how long, if there's a shutdown, how long it is. I think if it's a week, it's sort of a hiccup and maybe an inconvenience and what have you. I think if they go a month, 2 months, 3 months, and that federal money stops coming in, it would be a real problem. I don't know what we would do to, I think we could bridge it for a period of time, assuming they would make us whole on it eventually. But, you know, whether you have a parent who's in a nursing home or you get on a city bus or you rely on police and fire services, a lot of that comes from federal funds. And if that suddenly dries up, it will have profound impacts, not just on, boy, what will happen if I have to stand in line longer at the Social Security office, but on direct local services, too.
What happens if they do have a shutdown? Is the money retroactive?
That's what has historically happened. That is what has historically happened. I sort of feel like in this era of the things with the federal government, everything is so unprecedented and bizarre and concerning. I mean, none of it's normal, right? So the hard part is, well, when this happened last time, this is what they did. I mean, we're in an administration right now where nothing's normal. Everything's sort of, well, you know, precedent be damned. This is what we're going to do now. So I don't know what it means. It's a real concern. I understand why people feel like they've got to stand up to the Trump agenda and push back, particularly on these healthcare cuts. But nobody knows for certain what'll come of it.
Let's talk about the tragedy that happened at one of our beaches here. Yeah. And now you guys are taking some kind of action. You can't prevent all tragedies. You just can't. This is not the way it works. But you can help prevent it.
Yeah. So, and I guess I should say, so this is at Cary Hogle Park. It is not a beach. And I think this was part of the confusion. So let me start by saying this. If you would like to swim in the city of Racine, please go to North Beach or Zoo Beach. Those are the guarded areas in the summer. We have lifeguards that are there. You know, invariably, we have very few swimming drownings or deaths when people are in those areas. So unfortunately, there was a young woman who was at Cary Hogle Park and went into the water, which is relatively shallow. So you might think, well, what's the, but you know, that undertow, if the wind hits just the right way and is heading in the right direction, you know, that can pull you out. And you know, by all accounts, that seems to be what happened. So, you know, we can't, you know, guard 7 miles of waterfront up and down and, you know, make sure that people don't swim. But the most important thing we can remind people of is please swim in guarded areas when it's safe to do so. So at Cary Hogle, though, we did put a rescue ring that is there and a sign in English and Spanish that says no swimming. So hopefully that would give somebody pause and or if somebody went out anyways and there was someone nearby to have a rescue ring. The other thing that we did that, you know, we just are going to reinvigorate, but we had a partnership with Racine Unified and the county because they do the rescue on the water. They have boats to do that. Is we've done a number of videos about water safety where we're very like, please only swim in the guarded areas. If you encounter a riptide, here's what happens. Lake Michigan, you know, there are more deaths than drowning deaths in Lake Michigan than the other four Great Lakes combined. It looks serene and peaceful, but under the right conditions, it can be dangerous. So we just really encourage people to do that. Nobody wants a drowning tragedy to recur. So just we encourage people to swim in those guarded areas and take caution and just know it's beautiful to look at, but it can be deceivingly dangerous if you're there in the wrong conditions.
Every summer we hear about it. People drown because it's just the currents, the riptide currents and the undertows pull them right out. And you can be the best swimmer in the world. Yeah. Can't fight the ocean.
Yeah.
The lake in this case.
The other place, you know, the tragedy at Cary Hogle was very sad. And I'm glad we responded and put the signage and the rescue ring up. The other place it happens is if you're at North Beach, kind of by the water utility where the kids' cove is, there's that breakwater there, right? And people love to come and jump off that and do that. We get a ton of drownings there, again, because of the undertow. People are like, oh, this looks fun and clearly have signs, no swimming, dangerous, you know. And, you know, every summer we get people who go out there and really, I don't think they realize it, but they are risking their lives going out there. So water safety is an important thing. Racine Unified had a great conversation with the superintendent. They're going to make sure it's part of their science sections where, you know, kids are getting reminded about water safety and how dangerous it can be, how fun it can be if you follow the rules and how great it can be. It's a great resource, but, you know, we got to make sure people are safe.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, glad.
His Honor, the Racine Mayor, Corey Mason, coming in. See you next month.
Absolutely.
And the arm you'll be pitching?
I don't know about pitching, but maybe able to lift a pencil.
At your age. I hate those words. Thank you, Mayor.